now a true Hollywood story. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is a special Saturday show with a very special guest. April's here. We're going to talk about a great subject. Her new book is coming up, The Navarre Link Chronicles. And she's here right now. And again, it's a special show. We're usually on Monday through Friday, so let's go to the beginning. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are worldwide. We're heard all over the world. If you'd like to come into the studio, here is the number. This number to call in, 319-527-6099. Again, it's 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number to get your voice heard around the world. That's the number to get you in touch with our special guest, April. We're going to get right to it. But before we do, let me tell you a little bit about the Navarre Link Chronicles. This is a book, title of her book. I think it's out on Amazon now. We'll talk to April. She'll tell me more about that. And what this book is the Navarre Link Chronicles is a 5-book series about two ex-outlaws in the 1880s West. It's a story about growth and forgiveness, but the main focus deals with depression and suicide. It is an in-depth look on how a person who has everything going on for them, intelligence, charisma, creativity, and physical attractiveness can get to a point where life has just become so hard that they convince themselves that ending it all is the only way out. It also has a story of how love, loyalty, and friendship can win out over the direst of circumstances. This is typical of traditional westerns. This series has its share of gunfights, wild chases on horseback. It also has a love relationship in it. But not enough to make you gag. Okay, there you go, April. But mostly it's about friendship. So I invite you in the studio. I invite you in to talk to April. I invite you in to talk to me. And without further ado, let's get more about the book. And, you know, it's very enjoyable to hear about Westerns because we don't hear people writing about Westerns too often. And I'm a big Western fan. Ladies and gentlemen, April. Welcome to the studio, April.
Yeah, thank you.
You're so welcome. And April, I want to make sure I pronounce your name correctly. Is it Runnunes?
Runnunes? Yeah, it is a tough one. It's like the color of someone's eyes, brown eyes.
Oh, brown eyes. Okay, great. Okay. April, you know, when I first read your description, I thought it was more of a how-to and people in depression, and then I realized this is a Western. Can you tell me about the book and how did you conceive this idea of writing of this particular Western piece here?
Well, actually, I guess it was a journey that probably started about 50 years ago, maybe a little more than that. So I have had to deal with suicide and depression myself on both sides of the fence. When I was 10, my mother took her own life. And then when I was 13, my TV hero did the same thing. And, you know, when you're a 13-year-old girl and your little heartthrob does that, it does affect a lot. So that is, both those incidences, of course, stayed with me all my life. And throughout my life now, I've come to realize that it isn't that uncommon a situation. It's just something that people do not want to talk about. You bring it up and everybody just sort of like, oh, no, you know, we don't discuss that. And so I thought, you know, okay, I'm going to write a book about it. I'm going to use a genre that I love. I've always loved Westerns, even though I live on the West Coast. But I've always loved them. I've always enjoyed reading them and watching movies and TV series. So I just took some characters that I really enjoyed when I was younger on a TV show and enhanced them, made them my own, and brought this story into being. And it was a journey. You know, it's just started out as, well, I'll just write a little story, and it ended up being five books long. So, but it's been quite a journey. I've enjoyed it. All five books are written, and I'm slowly getting them edited and revised somewhat and then out there. So the first two plus a prelude are now published and available to people.
Well,
okay.
You know, I understand. You know, the hard part, when you write a book, you get into the characters, you get into the story, and it brings out emotions. Have you had a problem dealing with depression? Have you had a problem dealing with anxiety or loneliness, anything like that?
Not while writing the book, but I've certainly gone through that in my life. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I understand the anger. Like, what, you trying to say something?
No. The only reason I point that out is when you write a book, I'm thinking, you're writing about depression. I know you're writing about a character. But you also are very familiar with the subject as far as suicidal subject and depression, anxiety. So I'm thinking, if your character is going through these emotions, are you also triggering some things in you while you write the book? Or are you... you're okay with that?
Yeah, no, I was okay. I've dealt with those emotions, and they're in my past now. It was a journey, though. It was something I felt I had to get out there, you know, to release from myself. And like you say, I became very fond of my main character, and it was very difficult to write some of the situations that I had to put him into. But then it was like, well, if I don't, then there's no point in writing the book, because that's what this is about. So that was difficult. You know, you care about somebody, you don't want to see them unhappy.
I understand.
Yeah, it had to be done. So, and I have had people say that some of it is hard to read because it gets close to the bone. And then I just say, well, you should have tried writing it. That was hard, too.
I like what you did. I didn't read the book, by the way, but I like what you did as far as what I'm reading in the description of the book, is how you put a real situation, a real human emotion, and a real thing, especially with the climate going on right now with COVID-19. I mean, there's a lot more people who have anxiety, depression, so on and so forth. But
yeah.
I like how you – but do you think – did it take away your character? Because we're going to get to your character in a couple of seconds. But by putting those hardcore emotions in it as your character is going through it, do you think it took – did it take away from the Western kind of thing, the, you know, the gunfights or you know, the rest of the stuff, you think?
Well, I don't know. People who have read it
mm-hmm.
that don't generally like Westerns said they really enjoyed it, and yet other
mm-hmm.
people who do like Westerns also said that they enjoyed it. So there is
mm-hmm.
more than one character. There is the main character going through all this, but then he has
mm-hmm.
a friend who is standing by him and trying to help him through. And that takes us into the Western and the outlaw kind of life and ranching. And so I think I cover the bases that it's not just a psychological drama. It is a Western with a psychological drama edge to it. Yeah.
I like what you did. It will also get your audience involved in the character itself because they're going and they're rooting for this character. We're going to talk about, you know, drug addiction and suicide in a minute. But first, let's talk about your book. So how long did it take you to write it? It's the Navarre Link
yes.
Chronicles. The Navarre Link
Chronicles. Yeah. I would
mm-hmm.
say the first draft took me 2 years.
Wow. Wow.
And then the revisions and rewrites, you know.
Sure.
That's 80%
sure.
of writing a book is that. So this has been like a 10-year project.
Really? I'm glad you said it, and that tells me it's going to be an excellent book. Some people said, it took me a couple of days. I wrote a short story, done. But you really put thought in this. Tell me about your character. Who's the main character and who's the antagonist? Tell me a little bit about the story.
Well, Napoleon Nash and his friend, nephew, but they're similar in ages. There's Napoleon Nash and Jackson Kiefer. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they're the two ex-outlaws trying to get things sorted out and get onto a better track. But, I don't know what to tell you without giving away the book, really. But,
no, don't give away the
yeah,
book.
They end up a standing trial anyway, being arrested
uh-huh.
in standing trial. And one of them ends up going to prison, the other one doesn't. So that's the gist of the book. So you can probably figure out from that which one is, you know, going to be having
is there
the issues. So, it's a story about, you know, friendship. And
sure.
Napoleon is, like I said in my description there, he's an extremely intelligent, charismatic individual. He was
mm-hmm.
top of the line as a criminal, you know. He had everything going for him other than the lifestyle he chose, which he
sure.
you know, regrets. But it took a lot to break him. And that's, unfortunately, what had to happen. I don't know what else to tell you about the character or anything that I...
Oh, no.
Without giving away the story.
You did
great. Okay.
You did great. You did great. Okay. And so this takes place in the 1880s. Interesting.
Yes.
What town did it take place, or what state? Let me guess, Kansas. Usually, where
no,
the...
well, they grew up in Kansas, but the story
oh.
itself sort of takes
mm-hmm.
place between Colorado and Wyoming.
Oh,
it's
great!
The two of them, yeah.
Great.
But they were outlaws in.
No, I have a habit of. Go ahead. No, you keep talking. If I step over you, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They were outlaws in Wyoming, and Napoleon ended up going to the Wyoming Territorial Prison, which wasn't actually called that then. I think it was called the Penitentiary at Laramie, something like
mm-hmm.
that. Anyway, I have it written down. But so he ended up in that prison, and then his friend Jack Kiefer was living in Colorado on a ranch. So it kind of takes place between back and forth between the two states.
Well, you know what? It sounds good. And there has to be a love interest, April.
Oh, of course. Yes,
of course.
You got to have that. So, yeah, Jackson Kiefer ends up.
Or,
having a young lady being interested in him. So.
Oh, good. I thought you
That's
Jack
all I'm going to say
Kimber
about
were
that.
I thought they were lovers. Okay, no, it's not that kind of Western book. There is a woman involved. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Those are two.
Yeah. So I think that's, you know, it sounds kind of silly, but that's why I made the two main characters family as well as best friends. Like Napoleon is the nephew or the uncle and Jack is the nephew. But I really did not want people to get the idea that it was a homosexual relationship between the two of them, because it's not. You know, if people want to go that way, that's fine, but that's not what this story is about.
Now, when you write for a character in this particular one, you said the second character was Kiefer, Jack and Kiefer?
Jackson Kiefer, yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Are you reaching out to people you know that's familiar to you? Like, you know, you see visit personalities, maybe your husband, your boyfriend, or, you know, the guy at the store, and you go, okay, I'm going to take a little bit of this personality to make these characters real. Or are these characters that you put in this Western, it's completely from your mind and not from anybody I know whatsoever?
Well, it's a combination, really. Napoleon Nash especially is pretty complex.
Mm-hmm.
But the two main characters are based on a TV show that I watched as a child, which the actor that killed himself was in that. And that's Alias Smith and Jones. Yeah. So I don't know if anybody... Oh,
I remember,
the penny dropped.
I love that series. I love it. Which one killed himself? I mean, was it...
Peter Duell, who played
that's
the...
That's right. I remember that. I do remember that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah,
wow.
So that, you know, that stayed with me. But, of course, you know, you got to be careful about what you do with writing, taking that. And so I've changed quite a lot of it. And Napoleon Nash, I tried very hard to make him a combination of the character that the actor played and the actor himself, of what I do know about him. As a fan, I mean, obviously, I didn't know him, so I didn't. A lot of things, I'm sure, I didn't get right, but my impressions of him as a person. So I tried to combine those two characters together to make this unique individual, who is highly, you know, prismatic and creative, but also has a very dark side.
Really.
And I hope I've succeeded at that.
It's interesting. Did you have a personal connection to one of the characters for him to commit suicide? First, it's a horrible thing to do.
Yeah.
But you must have had a personal connection with one of the characters, a crush, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
One of the characters,
sure.
Alias Smith and Jones. Really? So were you like one of those girls who had the poster up and, you know, you kissed it before
yeah.
you went to bed?
Oh, yeah.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. The friend and I were lucky to have our own horses at that time. I still do have my own horse. But we just did a lot of role-playing and everything. We were out on riding our horses. Oh, yeah, we had a hoot.
Wow.
We had a great time.
Wow. When was the last time that you actually, do you have the DVDs of Alias Smith and Jones?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really?
Well, oh, yeah.
Here's a little trick. For those of you who don't know who Alias Smith and Jones, it was one of the best Westerns created. It was really, really good. Here's a little trailer on it, just a two-minute trailer of Alias Smith and Jones.
Oh, okay.
Let's see.
That is much hard work. And you could maybe die before you're dying.
I feel all right. You feel all right?
Oh, wonderful.
I've got two of you, son. Brave and intrepid. And then some. Pioneers of...
They were really good guys. They were fun,
yeah.
Smart-ass. They were kind of smart-assy.
Smart ass, cocky.
They should bring that. When was the last time you actually watched an episode of Alias Smith and Jones?
Oh, about 3 days ago.
Oh, really?
And the
now,
clip you played was from Journey from San Juan.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that awful?
Wow.
My goodness.
No, it's not. No, it's not. You know, because it triggers good memories. I mean, it's
it does.
That's what it's about. And I'm trying to get a good dialogue for you. Let's see, get everybody a good example. If you had to describe Alias Smith and Jones, I know we're describing your book, but for you to be, I'm sure you're like a little girl, and this made you happy, and it's about Western and outlaws and stuff. And I'm going, aren't you supposed to be doing Mary Poppins and Nice and Princess and the Toad? But you're riding horses and so. Let's see if I can get this out.
I was a tomboy. You know.
Were you really?
Oh yeah, I was a tomboy. Like I said, I loved Westerns. You know, I watched all those High Chaparral, Lancer,
you know,
Wagon Train. Yeah.
Oh man.
So,
Rifleman.
So Alias Smith and Jones came along right at the right time. I'd just gotten my first horse when I was 12, I guess, and then the show came on about 6 months after that, and just fell in love with the whole thing. It was just a really great time in my life. So,
well, I can understand. Now, was this before your mother took her life or after your mother?
No, after. Both.
After.
Two and a half years after.
Okay.
So it was a nice outlet. You know, it was, it was a good place to be. Yeah. So.
Well,
and I started writing then. That's what inspired me to write. That Western. So it really had a profound effect upon my life and upon my art, doing Western art and doing things like that. So a lot of who I am right now, oddly enough, is because of that show. And that it just came along the right time when I needed something, and it came through, yeah. So I guess it's not surprising that I'm still working at it.
Well, give me an idea. Okay, there you are, Miss Brown Eyes. So it's a Saturday. It's a Saturday afternoon. Rainy outside. I don't know. The husband is working on something, or maybe he's taking a nap. The grandkids or whatever, they're gone. It's you. You're going to put on Alias Smith and Jones. Now, when I put on DVD, I got to have my go-to. I have to have my popcorn. This is in order. Popcorn. Chocolate, soda, and I have to have licorice. Those are my must-haves I'm going to watch. Oh, yeah. Those are my must-haves. I cannot watch a movie without those. Do you have a go-to? Are you in your pajamas, and what is your go-to while you're watching Alias Smith and Jones?
Well, right now, actually, I have a studio, art studio, away from the house, and that's where I am right now. But I also have a large screen DVD player, which I, will watch Alias Smith and Jones on. So my go-to for that, so naturally I'm not in my pajamas because I'm out of the house, but I'm certainly comfortable. My go-to for sitting down, I'm like you, popcorn. You got to have popcorn, and I got to have white wine. So popcorn
and
white
wine. Popcorn? Oh, my God.
Yep.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's great together.
I never thought of that. I think I'll try it. I never thought of that. That is pretty darn good. Well, the book is out now, and you can get the book out on Amazon, I'm assuming. And we are talking with Miss April Brown Eyes, right? Am I correct? Brown Eyes?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. And the name of the book, and it's called Navarro. Link Chronicles, am I correct? Navarro?
Yeah,
Navarro.
That's the Navarro title. Yeah.
Okay. And you can get this on Amazon right now. It's a 5-book series about two ex-outlaws in the 1880s. Are there a lot of smart-ass conversation in it, a lot of witty kind of conversation and that kind of thing?
Well, I try to make it, not all doom and gloom. I know it was described by someone as, a roller coaster ride of emotions because you're caught up into the fun stuff and then all of a sudden, boom, you're coming down and you're having to deal with hard stuff. And So I tried to certainly give it a mix.
Yeah.
That's, you know, sometimes a challenge.
10 years in the making. 10 years in the making.
Well, and it's not done yet. I've still got 3 more books to
write.
Really? Yeah. So and that takes time, too. So I'm hoping it'll be all, you know, done in a couple of years. And then I can move on.
Well, until you can move on. Well, you know what? Why? You know, you have, looking at your book now, it's on Amazon. You have a couple of books. You have Ice, that's out too.
Yeah. Ice is a little prelude.
Okay. And let me see. You have a book called Copyright, Interactive Casebook Series. Oh, is this your husband? Or there's two people named Brown Eyes. There's Robert
there
Brown
is?
Eyes. Yeah, any
Case
relation?
Robert
Brown
Eyes? I don't know them. Robert Brown? No,
wow,
I don't know them.
They spelled it exactly the same way you spell your name. I just thought it was some kind of relations. That's interesting.
Nope. I should Google.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, so Kindle have it. Why does Kindle do this? Is it free if you're on Kindle? You
I guess
have the
they
one
have,
Aftershock?
They have some kind of, I mean, if you don't have Kindle, you just want to buy the e-book. I think I have it for $3.99. But if you're a member of their group, or I don't know, there is some kind of thing where if you pay so much per month, you can get endless books on Kindle, and then that's free that way.
Oh, okay.
I don't do that, so I'm not quite sure of the details of it. But there is a way to do it to get it free, but you're still paying so much per month.
Right.
So I'm not sure what I get out of that. But
I know we had so many authors on the show. April, you would not. We'll get to that another time. But you know, I think it's really bad what Amazon's doing to these authors, and we're not going to get into that right now. But we have gotten into that. What we're going to do is we're going to take a 1-minute break. I'm going to whisper to April to see if there's anything that I missed. Before I do that, let's get into it. Before I whisper to her, let's get into the drug addiction. You wanted to talk about this, April. We'll talk about it because there's many, you know, I believe 1 out of 5 people are addicted to drugs. And when I say drugs, you know, we may go hardcore. We may go to the standard evil drugs, cocaine, heroin, so on, meth, so on and so forth. But if you're on some kind of prescription drug, too, that's a form of addiction, too. So, you know, if you're on your heart medication and you're on your high blood pressure medication, so on and so forth, that's drugs, too. Some people think legal drugs are not, quote, drugs. So let's get to this. April, did you have a drug addiction? And you wanted to talk about it a little bit. Okay.
No, I didn't. My mother was addicted to Valium. And I've heard people since say, oh, Valium's not addictive. Well, yeah, I beg to differ. I know I don't think it gets used that much anymore. I was on Prozac for a time, but did not become addicted to it. I was able to wean myself off it when I was no longer in need of it. So, you know, I have a little bit of an idea, but my sister is a drug addict, unfortunately. She chose that life. And just, you know, you just see so much of it around anyway. And so that kind of just came into the story as part of what Jackson Kiefer goes through. So Napoleon Nash isn't the only one with the struggles. Jack ended up being addicted to morphine because of injuries, you know, to get painkiller in order to help him get the end. And ended up doing things that were completely out of character for him and had to come to terms with and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it is a part of the story. It's not the main part, but it is certainly in there, yeah.
But it makes the characters more human, you know, instead of supermen. And I like when authors do that. They put that human touch in there that's really relevant to what's really going on in society. even though you could be an outlaw and you're going to be a Western, you're still dealing. Back then, it was heroin because, if I remember right, didn't it have the Chinese connection that in China came into the Western area? And in Westerns, it was more or less heroin that people were addicted to.
Yeah, heroin and opium.
And opium, yeah.
Yeah, and it was legal. I mean, there were opium dens all over the place.
Sure.
So, and it was morphine and, what was the other one? Heroin, yeah. So,
yeah,
they were there. They were available and they were legal.
That's right.
So I'm sure there were a lot more drug addicts around then.
Oh,
than
my
we,
God.
We realized,
sure, right.
Yeah.
They were riding those horses high. That's probably, that's probably why they call it high noon. That's probably when
high
they did
noon.
It.
Yeah, yeah. At least the horse made the way home.
So, of course, that's why they needed the horse. It's always a smart one, like, get off my back. Are you really? Oh, my God. Can you imagine a horse going, now I got a drug problem. This guy really? You know, lay off the reins, all right, dude? I got it. Just lay
I
down.
I got it, yeah.
Well, you also talk about depression and the thoughts of suicide. Okay, April, have you thought about this personally as growing up as a child or in teen years and through adult years?
Oh, yeah. I went through a couple of bouts like that once as a teenager and once later in life. That's why I was on the Prozac.
Right.
But we're still talking 20 years ago now. You know, I'm past all that. I got through all that different, you know, you develop a spiritual or life view that kind of changes the way you see things. And that's basically what happened to me. And it's still sometimes I feel, well, I think we all get a little down the dump sometimes, but you know, it's nothing like what I went through previously.
Right.
So, you know, life is pretty good.
Good. So you're completely off any kind of, when talking drug, illegal. I mean, you're not on Prozac or any kind of medication like that at all. You're completely. You know, so what do you think about those people? I'm with you, April. I mean, I had a coke problem. I had a cocaine problem. My problem is that I couldn't get it, enough of it. That was my problem. But I didn't go through the 10 steps. I didn't go through the group self-help. I looked at myself one time and I didn't recognize who I was. And I said, this is not me. And I'm not going to do this. So what about these people who are addicts who keep going to these self-help centers for years after years, you know, Cocaine Anonymous? It's like, does it ever stop? I mean, how do you feel about that? If you stopped on your own, you knew it was bad for you, you went cold, you said, okay, I'm not going to do this life, and we're talking Prozac. What do you tell those people who keep going to these groups all the time?
I don't know. I was never addicted, so I used the drug until I was able to no longer needed it for the depression, and that I think I don't know if it was a year, if that long even, but anyway, no, I never got addicted, so it's hard for me to say. I don't even. Some people find success getting off it. I have heard people say though that you're never an ex drug addict or ex alcoholic. You are recovering. So it sounds, you know, like it's something that once you decide you're going to get off it, it's a daily conscious effort. That's the impression I get, that it never truly leaves you, you know, the impulse. So which would make it very difficult.
Yeah.
To get off completely. But again, that's just an impression. I've never been there myself, so it's hard for me to say.
You witness all of it. Whether I had a friend that even though she was not an alcoholic, she was married to one. And then she considered herself an alcoholic because it was in her life. So when you witness this, you are one. If you witness somebody who was suicidal, basically that brought suicide into your life or depression into your life or drug addiction into your life. So therefore, some people say you are an addict because you're living with an addict, and therefore you get the connection. So, you know, there's a connection there. And so I asked this girl, so how, she goes, I'm no longer an alcoholic. And I said, you never drank before. She goes, no, but my boyfriend did. When I got rid of him, I got rid of my alcoholism. I said the same thing. I went to her about 6 months. I go, I lost 125 pounds. She goes, you were never fat. I go, no, but I got rid of my girlfriend who weighed that. Now I went on a diet. I'm 125 pounds lighter. So,
well, there you go. Wow.
That's how I looked at it. I had to carry that weight. How important friendship and loyalty is to you?
Oh, very.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe too important sometimes.
Really?
You know, well, yeah, you know, I tend to be loyal to people beyond what they deserve. And to the point where I end up, you know, getting used and hurt. I'm not quite as bad as I used to be, but I certainly am loyal myself to friends, obviously, and I expect it back. You know, I take it hard if I feel that a friend has betrayed me or something. It's along that line. So, yeah, those things are important. And that
do you
comes
expect
in the book.
It? Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you expect it back or do you demand it back?
I expect it back. Mm-hmm. You can't demand mm-hmm. anything of anybody, really. You know, you can't control what other people are going to do. So I expect it, and then I'll just end up being disappointed if I don't get it. It's just like, oh, well.
I went down that road so many times. Trust me. I think I'm like you, but you're nicer than me. I demand it back because I give so much of myself. I mean, I give 110%, you know? And then when they only give 35, I get pissed off. It's like, what? I'm giving 110 and you're giving 35? Then I get pissed off. Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm giving
110, I don't know what's
I'm
better because, expecting that sometimes you get used. But.
Oh, my God. When we come back, I'm going to whisper into April's ear. Is to see if there's anything else that she wants to talk about as far as talking points. If you'd like to come in the studio again, talking to the great author, April Brown Eyes. How's that? The last name is spelled B as in boy, R-A-U-N as in Nancy, E-I-S. Put April into your search. Put your search into Amazon. Get the book. It's a series, and I want to keep saying the Navarre Link Chronicles, but you probably could say it better.
Well, the Navarre Link Chronicles.
Navarre. There you go.
Navarre.
Navarre. Navarre. It's like an actress called Hedy. Remember Hedy Navarre? I know you know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought it was something. Wasn't that Lamar? Hedy Lamar?
I know. You see what I did there? And if you'd like to come in the studio, that's the number to get you in the studio. It's 319-527-6099. You belong to a group on Facebook called Book Whores. We'll talk about that after the break, how those people are treating you, and if you met any new friends, and if you might have a book you want to recommend from one of those authors. Because I have interviewed C.A. Ashbery, one of my favorites. She's coming on Tuesday. And I think Miss Keefe, I interviewed her, and wonderful author. So when we come back, maybe she'll tell us some dirt on the book whore group that she's probably went. Or she's going to say something nice about that group. You're listening to Hammer. I know, they're probably listening. When we come back, we'll talk about the group, you know, and what you think. And are you new to the group at all? Or you've been around?
Yeah, well, I've been there for about a year now, I guess.
Okay.
And I do some of my promotion there and all that. So, yeah, I've been with them for a while.
Yeah.
I hate the name,
did you make
but,
it?
You know. What can you do?
Yeah, but I bet you hate wearing a T-shirt, too, right? I'm a book whore. That could be a little different.
Yeah. Wear it.
Well, that could
no.
be. Yeah. It's hard to sell the merchandise. All right. So if you want to come in, you want to come in the studio, please come in again. Again, we're talking to the great April Brown Eyes. And, again, the number to call in, just a short break, 319-527-6099. We'll give them a little chance to call in, and we'll be right back. I'm going to play, this is for you, April. This is how I feel to you. Usually sometimes on a weekend or sometimes during the week, I'll play a little music and I'll dedicate a song.
Oh,
but I
okay.
think I'm going to dedicate this song for you. How's this? And we'll be right back with April.
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy. Lonely like a highway. She can fly away. Oh, she
Okay, we're back. We're back with the fabulous April. And April, this is the end of our interview. If there's something we didn't touch upon and something you want to mention about the characters, about the book, your social media, how to get the book, we give you 30 seconds, and it's all yours. Take it away, April.
Okay. I do have a web page, www.twoblazesartworks, and that's T-W-O, not the letter two. So people can see my artwork and get updates on my books there. Or I'm on Facebook under April Braun Eyes. A lot of my artwork, the books I've got out now, I did the covers myself, and the interior illustrations are my work. So there's really a lot going on in there. A lot of promotion I do is word of mouth, but also through my webpage and through Facebook pages and things like that. And when I can, I get to the Western Writers Conventions. Of course, they were all canceled this year, so that kind of vetoed that. And then I do art shows, and I take my books to the art shows as well, so end up selling a few that way. So it's, you know, slowly getting them out there and getting the word out and doing interviews like this all help. So although in one interview I started talking about the suicide aspect of the books, and all of a sudden we were talking about my artwork because they didn't want to discuss something like that.
Sure.
So it's like, oh, okay, here we go. I want to put in a little nudge for C.A. Asprey. She and I are friends, even though we live on two different continents. But we're friends and we keep in touch, and I enjoy her books, and she's been, you know, enjoying mine, I hope. So they are a good read. So,
well,
other than that,
I
think... Yeah, I got an interview with her on Tuesday. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I'll try and tune in for that.
She also has a book called I interviewed her before. She is funny. I really enjoyed her. Her book is called The Innocence Mysteries, and we'll be talking about that on Tuesday. But enough about her. Let's get some dirt on the book whore group. You know, they're not listening. Who annoys you the most in that group?
Well, you know. Well, to be quite honest, I'm not on it often enough. I'll pop on once in a while to promote something I'm doing, or Christine has something on there, you know, to promote that. But I don't spend much time on these book groups or the art groups.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too busy. You know, I have
right.
I'm too busy on my own stuff, so I can't really give you too much dirt that way. Sorry, kind of. Anticlimactic, I know, but.
Well, I joke. There's some great people on that. If you are an author, I do recommend if you can join. I think it's a private group. It's called Book Horse. They have some great writers there, some great authors. And like I said, I met you on there, and I met Miss Ashbury on there. And there's some great stories, so check them out. I really like this group. I'm a member. I don't know why they keep me. I think they're – I don't know if I want to belong to a group that likes me as a member. I'm kind of on the fence on that, but they're nice people. They're really nice people.
Yeah, I've never had any issues with them other than, like I say, the name. But other than that, it's good for a group.
Well, do you have a website? Did you mention your website at all before you leave?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. www. Okay. Do you want me to say it?
Yes. One more time.
Yeah. www.twoblazesartworks.com.
There you go. I enjoyed you. I hope you enjoyed your radio interview. It was nice meeting you.
Yes. Very much so. Yeah. Thank you for letting me come on and chatter.
It's my pleasure. No, I had a great time. And this is a special Saturday interview, and we did it for you, April, because I said, I've been talking you up. I said, I like the West. I like the story that she's touching on. And it would be so easy. You know, it would be so easy as a radio host to go to the go-to. You know, the go-to, the suicide, the go-to, the depression. It's the go-to, you know, without me doing any work. But it's about you selling the book. And I don't want the suicide and depression to, you know, to over be stated and lose the whole book. With, you know, it's an 1880s Western book with outlaws and about two characters and a girl. And
yeah.
You know, so I didn't want to go to that go to. And your artwork, are you selling your artwork, April?
Yes.
People buy your artwork.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
And they can get
that
on.
You know.
Yeah,
it's just
go.
Yeah, this summer's been pretty slow, of course, but all the shows have been canceled.
Sure.
But I'm still pushing away at it.
Well, April, thank you for coming in. For being my special guest on a Saturday. And my website is M as in Mary, V as in Victor, P as in Paul, MVPOnDemand.com. One word, MVPOnDemand.com. MVPOnDemand.com. One word. Uh-huh. And my name is... MVP. M as in Michael, V as in Victor, P as in Paul. MVPOnDemand.com. And my name is Brian Brown Eyes for this interview. How's that, April? I'm going to write on your face.
Okay, that's how I get. All right. Hey, that works, you know. That's a pretty nice. I should use that for one of my characters. Brian Brown Eyes.
Hey, he could be the bad guy. He could be the outlaw with the big mouth. He gets shot the first
the
opening
big
scene.
Mouth, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, next time.
April, I think we have one question. I think we have a gentleman who might want to ask you a question before we leave. Let's say, Cole, do you have a question for April before she leaves?
I just have one question.
Sure.
Yeah, I just had one question. What's your favorite Western, and have you seen Marlon Brando's film One-Eyed Jacks? That's the only film that he ever directed. It's actually my favorite Western.
Yeah, that's your favorite.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It's
actually Martin Scorsese's favorite, too. He and George Lucas spent a year restoring it. It's the last film shot in Hollywood on Panavision.
Oh, that's
although
good.
I just recently saw in an interview on with Connie Chung with Marlon Brando when he was older, and he said that they butchered the edit. I thought it was a really good film, but something about it, I guess, just because you direct, even I guess today, I guess sometimes you don't get to do the edit you want. I don't know.
She did see it.
I mean,
and did you like it, April? Did you like it?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a good film. You know, I don't. Sometimes the editors do, yeah, botch up a film. They have total control, those editors. But having not, you know, you haven't seen the extended version, so the edited version that made it to the film, the theaters and all that was certainly a good film as far as I was concerned. Yeah.
I think 2 hours and 35 minutes. That does bring me to another question, though, that's writing related, and that is, how do you work with your editors? Do you edit yourself, or do you hand the book off to get another version, or have you had to work with multiple editors? Or what's the editing process? Do you overwrite? Do you write day by day? Do you know what you're kind of getting into, or how much of it is kind of like an improv thing where you just got to try and keep forging ahead around the skeleton that you started out with?
Well, I'm sure she has proofreaders.
Yeah, the original manuscript, of course, it took me 2 years to do, was just a fly by night. People reading it at that point were, yeah, they wanted to know what was going to happen next, and so did I. But
how
now,
long was that?
Yeah, with editing,
how long
she was
the
trying
original
to answer
manuscript? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that, now editing, I've had a number of people proofread it and read it, edit it for me. Well, not for me, but give suggestions. And I do have a good go-to person who is a friend who is doing it, and she's been very helpful. I also belong to a writing group here where I live, which has also been a really good group to belong to, where we get to read our manuscript out loud, which really, really does...
Oh, that's cool.
Make the errors more apparent.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Well, April, thank you so much for answering questions.
I just had, I just have one.
We're
going
to have to let her go. Cole, we're going to have to let her go. Okay, one last question.
One last question.
I know.
Well, I'm a screenwriter, so you know, I just wanted to know how hard was the. Did you have the ending? How hard was it coming up with the ending? Because the ending in most things are, you know, kind of important to have either a climactic ending or something happens, you know, that kind of ties everything together. How hard was the ending for you on this particular
project? Easy. I already knew before I started writing it where how it was going to end.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks.
Thank you, Cole.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your questions. That was good questions. April?
Yeah.
I guess this is how we say it in the Western, adieu.
Adieu.
Yeah, that's a French Western. Adieu. And happy trails to
happy
you.
Happy trails.
Until
there
we
go, again. Yes.
April Brown Eyes, everyone. Thank you so much, April. And
okay,
be
thank
safe
you.
With the COVID-19. Come back soon.
Yep.
April Brown Eyes, everyone. There she is. And we'll be right back. We have Cole coming in the studio. And I'll talk with Cole for a couple of minutes. And you're listening to the special edition of Brian the Hammer Jackson and with the beautiful author, April Brown Eyes. Get the book. I think it's coming out soon on Amazon, but she has a couple of books out there right now that I think are going to be great. I think April, your book is not out yet, is it? Or is it already out?
The
two
Ice is out, which is a prelude. And then
okay. The
first two books of the series are also out. So there's three books total that are now available.
Good.
And I have three
Get
more to
Ice. That's right. There you go. Well, thank you so much, April. And we're going to be talking with Cole. And I wish I can – do you drink, April? I mean, I wish I could give you a parting gift. You like your wine? There you go.
Well, wine. Wine and popcorn, you know.
Wine and popcorn. Well, you know, we have a can of wine. We're the first one to make a can of wine. Here you go. Here's your can of wine for your popcorn.
Okay, thank
there
you.
There it is. So ice in your wine.
Cheers.
Cheers. Ah. There
oh,
you
my
go.
Goodness.
Okay, April, you have a good day. We'll be right back.
You too. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
And we'll be right back with Cole. And let me see. You know, suicide is. If you feel like you're in, if you feel like you are in that area, that dark space, there is help for you. And it's alarming that suicide is up with this COVID-19. People are getting depressed. Domestic violence is up.
I heard 2,000% on suicide.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I mean, it's understandable to be in the depression. It's understandable the anxiety that you may have, but there's a way out. And sometimes you just need to talk to someone that has that calming voice that'll bring you through it. So
like
before you,
Brian.
Think about not me. No, I'm the one who'll make you drink.
You're going to make the guy do a swan dive off the Empire State Building,
right? Yeah, you just want to jump off the bridge after you hear me. But there are people out there that can help you, and you'll be surprised. So if you're going to end it, try exhaust everything you have. You know, have different perspective, and you'll get through this, and we all will get through this because all of us get depressed. All of us get angry. You're not the only one. Get help.
And
if you're in that dark place.
And if you are going to end it, if you are going to end it, don't do it messy. Mm. Make it clean.
No, I didn't say that. I said
I did.
Make sure you exhaust all your. What are you doing?
That was bad.
It's a nice show. It's a nice show. Exhaust
God,
all your options. Talk to someone. Oh my God.
I'm going
we'll be
hell,
right
Brian.
Back with Cole. Oh my God. We'll be right back.
Please don't play Beyonce.
Yeah, no, we're going to talk. Welcome to the Saturday edition of Brian the Hammer Jackson and with the beautiful April Brown Eyes. She was just here, and we have Cole. And give me a minute to have a cup of coffee, and I'll be back with Cole Blackwell.
Wash your hands, motherfucker.
My old friend, I've come to talk with you again. softly is creeping, left its scenes while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still.
We have Cole Blackwell in the studio. Cole, it's a Saturday special edition on a Saturday. What are you doing this Saturday?
I'm just eating some vegan meatballs with some pesto pasta and smoking some wax with some – this wax is lovely. It's a gelato. It's called Smart Melts with some platinum cookies.
Oh,
and
okay.
I'm watching that TV series Bosch. I'm kind of binge watching it. It's pretty good. I've watched like
four. Really?
I'm on four. Yeah, I'm on season four, in like about 3 days or 4 days, I guess. I'm watching like whatever it is, you know, eight episodes a day.
I've been binging on a series
good,
I can't
man.
Get enough of. It's called South Queen of the South. I think it's called. Oh my God! It's about the cartel, about the cartels. It's a story. It's not a documentary.
It's on Netflix.
But it's about on Netflix. I haven't slept in 2 days. I mean, right before the interview, it's like I had to set my alarm because I've been watching this for two days now, and I got about maybe a half an hour of sleep because it's so freaking good, man. I can't get away with it. I'm addicted to it. So I've been watching that. You know, it's a scary world out here. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just sent you my song that I just
okay. Let me play.
Like a you know.
Yeah.
Play like a
here,
minute
let me.
Of it. Like a first.
I'll play a minute of it. We are going to go off the air in about 15 minutes, but I want to talk to my friend Cole. Here's one of the. Cole is also a musician. And here's a little thing about Miles Del Rey, Wonderful Tonight. You did a demo with Jim Dooley, or you just added his beat?
He has whole beats online, and you could buy it, like subscribe for a month and get the HD, the digital beats.
Okay.
You can use them, you know, for anything you want. And this is a remake of the Eric Clapton tune, which is I sped up the tempo a little bit and kind of metalized it. But it's just the guitar.
Okay.
I did the guitar and the vocals in like 2 hours, so it's just a quick little, you know, skeleton.
All right. Here we go.
Yeah, check
Miles,
it out. Tell me what you think.
Miles Del Rey. Here we go.
Be honest.
You know, Cole, it's like that was amazing.
Not bad,
you're
right?
A pain in no. You're a pain in the ass. But I forget how good you are as a musician. I loved it, Cole. I really do. I'm gonna rip it off, and I'm gonna play it. I'm gonna play it all next week. I'm gonna play it all next week.
I still have to add the bass. A little bit of rhythm guitar, a little solo, and maybe some organs. But that's kind of like,
right.
You know, I might try and – I'm not sure about the layering on the voicing. I might try and do it, you know, like a different version where it's just one voice with a little more echo and not so, you know, layered. You know, I don't know. People seem to like it so far, so – You know, maybe.
Nope. You did a hell of a job, man. You did a hell of a job. Look at this. This is what you're getting. Look at that. Rock on, dude. Yeah. You're going to get that, and you also deserve a very special bonus. Let me give it to you. Let me give it to you. Here you go. As soon as I can find it. You did really good. You did really, really freaking good, man. You really did good.
Don't worry. I just lit a joint, so. Okay.
There you go.
I do a ball and chaser.
No cough. Yeah, there you go.
No. Coughing's for pussies, man. Pussies cough.
Wow. All right, Cole. I want to thank you for coming in and supporting, you know, the talent. That was nice of you.
Well, I kind of
April Brown Eyes.
I'm glad you had a good interview, and, you know, I came in at the end, and I'm sorry if I stepped on her toes a little bit with too many questions.
No,
just my nature.
No.
But it was nice. I was wondering whether or not you're going to – I was thinking, you know, after the first verse went by and it kept playing, I was like, oh, I think he likes that. I think he might play the whole thing. And then when it got – the second verse got by, I said – because I really like the break in that song, that third, you know, I feel wonderful. That
right.
Fucking break is pretty cool, you know. That's a really
it is,
cool
isn't
thing,
it?
You know.
You did great. Your voice was good with it. You had it really blended into the song. And
yeah.
You did. I'm very impressed, Cole.
Did you listen to that through a stereo, or how did you hear? I mean, like, could you listen to that later through some headphones and tell me, like, if the mix is all
right?
If one thing's higher than the other, I can't really tell. I think the drums might be a little but I don't know. I can't really tell.
Okay.
What, you know, because it's mine, you know, maybe that's
right.
Why.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to download it and I'm going to put it in my headphones. So when I work out, I'm going to put it on one of my tapes, on one of my workout list. And I'll tell you, I'll give you that review Monday. It'll be right in my ear. It'll be right
you
in my ear.
You can convert it to... to an MP3, you know that YouTube
yeah,
to MP3.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And
stay with me.
Yeah.
In honor of April,
okay.
I don't get to play this song. In honor of April Brown Eyes, she still may be listening. Here's a little Western song I think she will enjoy. Here we go, just a little bit. This is a little Western song. There you go.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
I've been up the trail, been through Death Valley hard as hell.
Yes.
I rode across the dusty plains. There's cowboy running through my veins.
Yeah.
But I ain't going down on Brokeback Mountain. No, I ain't going down on Brokeback
Mountain.
That shit ain't right.
That shit ain't right.
That shit ain't right.
That shit ain't right.
Yeah.
I've watched the herd from dusk till dawn, but I did it with my britches on. You can have a chew, you can bum a smoke, but don't go reaching for my rope, 'cause I ain't going down on Brokeback Mountain. No, I ain't going down on Brokeback Mountain. That shit ain't right.
That shit ain't right.
That shit ain't right.
That shit ain't right.
Yeah. Last note sounded a mite queer.
Yeah, sorry about that.
What you do's your business, Hall. You can buy me a beer, but then buck off. Oh, I ain't going down on Brokeback Mountain. No, I ain't going down on Brokeback Mountain. That shit ain't right.
That shit ain't right.
That shit ain't
shit ain't right.
That shit ain't right.
That shit ain't right.
It ain't never been right.
That shit ain't right.
That shit ain't right.
Yo, lay up, lay old, lay.
Pass that joint.
What the hell?
Cowboy.
Oh, that's my saddle horn. Thank goodness.
Watch my pants.
Yeah.
Don't try and touch my rope. Don't try and touch
there
my
you
rope,
go.
Man.
That's right. Rope a dope, baby. Well, Cole, thanks for coming
rope.
In on a Saturday.
Hey, man.
And,
enjoy your day off tomorrow, and I'll talk to you
I
Monday,
will.
Fucker.
I will. Take care, my friend. And we're going to play, you just heard Cole, or Miles Del Rey. Wonderful Tonight version, and here you go. I'm sending you off with one of my favorite, and that's one of my favorite songs from Eric Clapton, Wonderful Tonight. See you guys Monday.
I'll be hanging up because this song makes you want to blow my head off. Later.
Maybe I didn't treat you.
Oops. Wait a minute. I got a cross thing going on here, and I can't find it. Well, that just... Okay, hold on. Here we go.
Oh my God, you are one.
quite as good as I should have. Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. I'm so happy that you're mine. If I made you feel second best, girl, I'm so sorry I was blind.
Listen to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio. We'll see you guys Monday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I had a dance with my girl over the last song. It's one of her favorite songs. So we were dancing during this song. We'll see you guys Monday.